Thank you for bearing with us. My name is David Abel. I'm going to be presenting some results about the effects cover crop and fertilizer management practice has on water quality, specifically phosphorus loss. Allow me to thank my advising committee and co-authors, Dr. Nathan Nelson, Craig Rosenboom, Gerard Klutenberg, and Peter Tomlinson. So first of all, we know we're all familiar with the phosphorus cycle. And phosphorus is a key nutrient for high-yielding crops. Without it, we're going to have pretty shoddy-looking plants. But phosphorus can also run off from our fields in surface runoff, and so that's what we're interested in, what I'm going to talk about today. It causes some problems. That phosphorus-rich runoff can create algae blooms or eutrophic systems. That algae decays, microorganisms consume a large majority of that oxygen in the water, creating fish kills and other such problems. It's also an issue for humanity as well. This publication, 2014, surrounding the Lake Erie area in the United States, indicates a three-day water ban for 500,000 residents. So what are my goals and objectives of this research in a general sense? We want to understand the effects cover crops and phosphorus fertilizer management practice have on phosphorus loss. The hypothesis being that using a cover crop in conjunction with our fall broadcast applied fertilizers could be comparable to spring-injected phosphorus fertilizer applications, or at least that was the hope. This is the Kansas Agricultural Watersheds. It's made up of 18 small watersheds, approximately a half hectare in size. It's arranged in a 2x3 factorial design with three replications. There's two levels of cover crop, with and without. The green plots are indicating the cover crop plots. Obviously, then the whites are without. There's three levels of phosphorus fertilizer management. There's a fall broadcast applied phosphorus fertilizer that's indicated by the dotted plots. There's also a spring injected phosphorus fertilizer indicated by the striped plots. And then the clear plots, or those without any pattern, receive no phosphorus fertilizer. It is in a no-till management system. The crop is soybean. The rate is 54 kilograms of P2O5 per hectare. The cover crop used was winter wheat. I said it's 3 to 7% sloping from top to bottom and terraced. So the horizontal lines dividing the plots are all terraces on this field. And there are three blocks, and so it's in a randomized complete block design. So each treatment is represented in all three of these blocks. On that previous slide, the red triangles were the watershed outlets, which look like this. In this picture, you can see a 1.5 foot H flume, or a 0.46 meter H flume, and that's this piece of equipment that the water flows through. It's a specifically engineered piece of equipment to take the depth of water that passes through it and make a conversion into flow. That's done by some automated water sampling equipment housed there in that large white shelter. That piece of equipment draws water samples, and specifically for this experiment, a 200 milliliter water sample is taken every 1 millimeter of runoff. And it measures that by a pressure-induced bubbler module that's connected to this unit. There's a lot of field measurements that we're interested in from this research: runoff sediment, phosphorus, nitrogen loss, yield, biomass, and even the economic feasibility. I don't have time to talk about all those things today, so we're going to focus on these three being runoff, sediment loss, and phosphorus loss. The data that I'll present comes from the 2015-2016 water year. And when I say water year, that's from the 1st of October through the end of September. There was 27 runoff events during this time frame that's produced a number of 486 possible measurements. However, 84% of that total runoff can be summarized or is captured by the seven large events that were over 5 millimeter of runoff. The data was non-normally distributed, and so was transformed. Runoff was transformed using a square root transformation. Total P, dissolved P, and sediment were all transformed with a log base 10. And the data I'll present here is coming from, comprised from those seven large runoff events. Here's a timeline, really, of the water year. The blue line being cumulative water over this period. The blue bar is by month for this specific water year, and then the 30-year average is plotted in the gray and the black accordingly. The purple are kind of just to give you reference of what took place here in our cropping system. I would like to highlight for you that it was a wet winter, specifically in November and December, which produced our first runoff event on December 15th. And there's a long period of time before our second runoff event that didn't occur until May. So jumping into results here, cover crops impact on surface runoff. There was no overall impact by the cover crop on surface runoff. However, I want to highlight some of the event by cover interactions, which is why the data is displayed this way by event. Here in the beginning, you see that cover crop significantly increased surface runoff, but that wasn't the case in the second event in April. It had the opposite effect. I believe that this could be because of the phase or the growth phase of the cover crop, in this case wheat, was in December. It would have been in a more dormant stage, not actively really uptaking much water, which could have resulted in increased soil moisture, which therefore increased surface runoff in April. However, that cover would have been actively growing, drying down the soil moisture and reducing runoff. There was, however, a very significant overall effect on sediment loss by the cover crop. It was a 71% overall reduction. And again, though, we see this interaction with event on these first two events. That increase from the December event was because of the increased runoff and not because of a difference in sediment concentration. Similarly, here in dissolved P, the dissolved P fraction, there was a 48% overall increase in dissolved P loss. And some of these interactions are interesting. Again, that first event, or the first two event interaction, you saw that there's a spike there from that first event in dissolved phosphorus from the cover crop treatment as compared to the no cover treatment. I think that could be because of some biomass decomposing that got winter killed in that December event, but didn't. And also, though, I guess I'll mention here is the second pairing, the third and fourth event. We see that increase in May 27th. I think that could be a dissolved phosphorus lease from the time of cover crop termination, which was on May 6th. And so I think the decay of our cover crop could impact specifically the dissolved phosphorus fraction. Total phosphorus, we see that following the sediment a little bit there, so the same interaction is shown from those first two events. And also, I think this could be expressing some of the changes or the impacts we saw of cover crop in the dissolved phosphorus fraction. I'll touch here briefly on the fertilizer placement aspect. I've shown dissolved phosphorus, both load and concentration, on this slide. In both cases, there was a twofold increase in dissolved phosphorus dissolved phosphorus from the fall broadcast treatment compared to the spring injected treatment. But what I really want to highlight here was a question that was actually brought up earlier in another presentation, is that in the concentration, we see a very clear diminishing or a decrease with time away from application. And the spring injected fertilizer was applied, as indicated by this line here, And that's where we see the increase in the spring injected treatment. And so it does seem that even though that we injected it below the soil surface, there was some interaction with surface runoff there. Total phosphorus loss wasn't significant overall, but there was, in a couple of events, the fall broadcast tended to be higher. And in conclusion, we have reduced erosion, but increases all phosphorus loss. Injecting pea fertilizer reduces the dissolved pea loss, particularly earlier in the season, but neither cover crop or fertilizer management affected the total pea loss overall. But I think the main conclusion that I want to draw from this research is that these interactions are complex and dynamic. They change throughout the year, and more research at the field level is definitely needed to hash out what these long-term effects might be. So with that, I'll link my funding sources, the IPNI 4R Research Fund, K-State Research and Extension, Kansas Corn Commission, and the Kansas Soybean Commission. And thank you.
One quick question for Abel. Any question for Abel? Just one. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that the question was first that could soil temperature play a role in the lack of differences or differences that we might see, and I think it definitely can, and probably does. As the soil temperatures heat up, there's going to be more infiltration and can therefore be less runoff, and I think some of those dynamic factors and various things certainly come into play, and so really pinning down what's causing what is a tricky thing to do in this kind of scale research.
Thanks, Abel. Sorry for that.
No problem. Thank you.